Podcast.
That's the emergency tone of the telegram for the emergency podcast. Pat, breaking with tradition, doing a real quick chat to talk about Nate Schmidt, defenseman for the Washington Capitals, being selected in the expansion draft by the man who signed him to his first NHL contract, George McPhee, and the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm joined by Patrick Holden, writer for the Rush Machine website, who just learned about the news maybe 25 minutes ago as he got out of yoga. Pat, can I get your reaction, please?
Yep, sorry. I thought you were going to go on. You caught me mid-sip of water.
I can only rant for so long.
I thought you were going to give me like a 60-second intro.
That was a 45.
So, yeah. All right, so...
Reaction. That's. I want. Just let's start with emotion.
Emotion. I think that all right, so let me go back to what I was saying to you earlier, in that one of the most incompetent management decisions, it was an in-game managerial decision, was last fall. And by most incompetent, I mean that I've ever seen or been.
This is really good for all the people that think that we've got too many prejudices in our sports outside of hockey. Go on with your story, Pat.
Was last fall when Buck Showalter didn't use Zach Britton in an elimination game.
The sports team you're talking about here is the Baltimore
Orioles. Is the Orioles. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. You're much more gathered than me. This news is so much fresher to me.
And Zach Britton is the closer for the Orioles.
Best closer in baseball. And he was not used in a game that the Orioles had to win to move on in the playoffs.
Because he's a closer, and they were in a closing situation.
All right. Anyways. I think that this, to put this in context, this is I consider this a worse decision. I don't know how the Caps arrived here. No, we don't know everything that happened or every choice that they had, but we do know some other choices they might have had, and we do have a little bit of a gauge of the market of what it kept to keep Vegas from selecting certain players. By that, I mean, like, you know, teams like Anaheim and Minnesota both had good defensemen out there that Vegas did not select.
Yeah.
And the price to keep those guys was not really all that high. So, you know, either Vegas really, really, really were just... Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast without a curse?
Yeah, you can.
They were dicks about it and drove up the price of Schmidt. Or the Caps undervalued Schmidt and were not willing to give up what, based off of the rest of the market, was a reasonable price to keep him. And I certainly think that they undervalued him, just as they underused him and undervalued him the whole time he was here.
Yeah, it's weird.
You want me to keep going?
No, that was great.
Or you want to come in?
I think there's a lot to talk about there. So I certainly agree with you about, like, not recognizing the talent of Nate Schmidt and definitely not using him. You know, he scratched 22 games in this season and didn't play the first few games of the playoffs. But when he did step in, he had, you know, better results than any defenseman in the entire league. I thought that was a coaching thing. I did not think that extended to management, and I was a little bit surprised by that. We do know, per reports from Isabel Krishoudian of the Washington Post, that there were offers, deals being negotiated to ward the Knights away from Nate Schmidt. But Washington found that price too high. Of course, we're never going to find out what that price was. But off the top of my head, a first-round pick when the Caps finally do have one again, which will be, I think, 2 years from now.
No, they have one next year.
They
have 2018, yeah.
I think that would have been a fair bet. I wouldn't even think about it. A first-round draft pick in 2018 would be an easy one, presuming the Capitals make the playoffs next year.
Right, because the chances, if you look at first-round picks who come, you know, 20th or later, or even in the back half, the chances of them even becoming a guy that a few years into his career you can plug into your top four, like the Caps said they were going to do with Schmidt next year, the chances of that happening are not good.
Not.
And on top of that, even if the Caps do keep that pick and this player turns into Nate Schmidt, Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, they need that caliber of player now to help them.
Yeah.
Because in a few years, that's not going to do them much good. Sorry, yeah. I cut you off. But
well,
just
no, that's fine. You just said what I was going to say, but you said it in your voice instead of mine. I think that's a wonderful encapsulation of what the issue is. And I'll say it for my part. I don't know if it was the wrong move not to protect Schmidt, meaning put him on the protected list. I think, given what I think, and this is me being ignorant, but given what I suspect were the options to keep the Knights from picking him, I think they goofed in doing that, in not making a deal to protect him. Again, you and I talked about this on a video thing that we did just for the patrons last week, but... it was a negotiable possible idea that perhaps they should talk about, you know, dealing Carlson while they can, because he'll be a UFA after this year, and then using that spot to protect Schmidt, who they can would then have been able to re-sign to a longer contract, and hopefully that contract be worthwhile. That is all extremely hypothetical, and it's sort of chasing down tangents. I don't blame Brian McClellan for not protecting Schmidt, but I think they probably goofed in the negotiations. And I wonder how tense, what is that negotiation like? Because it's basically negotiating with your former boss. You know, George McPhee is the guy that somehow got unanimous consent from his staff, which includes Brian McClellan, to say that no, Forsberg was not developing as he should, and we should, you know, everyone in that room, according to George McPhee, agreed that the Capitals should ditch Philip Forsberg. So that brush painted Brian McClellan, who is now a general manager, and just lost the, you know, undrafted Minnesota Gophers defenseman that somebody in the organization scouted and said, let's sign that dude. And I don't know who that person was, but bravo, because they found, you know, a legitimate top four defenseman who now is going to be wearing a Vegas sweater. But we'll see for how long.
Yeah, I we'll see. But and I think another thing that's important to point out is that this is not only a loss of a guy who, as a third pairing defenseman in that role, was one of the best third pairing defensemen in the league since he's entered the league. Right? I'm not going to say he was one of the best defensemen, but his results as a third pairing were certainly among the best of any third pairing defenseman.
Well played.
In the time that he got in the top four was good, was going to be penciled into the top four, but on top of that was going to do that job on a contract that was going to be at a really good price. And that's so important to the Caps right now with their cap situation this summer, having to sign Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, Orlov, you know, having to replace guys like Oshin Williams. Now you have to also replace a top 4D, and those don't come cheap. I mean, you know, there are always bargains out on the market. And hopefully the Caps will be able to get one. But paying full price for a second pairing defenseman out on the market is either in a trade or a contract is going to cost you more money than Nate Schmidt was going to cost this year. And that's... I mean, every dollar counts with how their cap situations this year. So just want to be clear, it's not just his talent level that they're missing, but the value he was going to return on his contract with the role he was going to play.
Yeah, and the Caps were going to lose something, and that something would hurt. Even as we see, as Pat and I are recording this, it's not even 9 o'clock yet on Wednesday, so the awards are still going on. While a bunch of the names have already leaked, there's still some details we don't have, especially what those deals are. But so far, Vegas has gotten not top tier talent. They definitely don't have, based on what the names we've seen so far, a roster that can compete for a playoff spot, which is a fine tactical move. But it does suggest that the rest of the league and in their negotiations with George McPhee decided we want to keep our team as much intact as possible, or perhaps improve the team by subtraction, even if we have to part with picks in addition to a player. Whereas the Caps did not do that, right? They said, okay, here's a roster player. We're not going to put up a fight. As I look down the list, there are not a ton of players that Vegas has gotten so far that are as good and immediately playable as Nate Schmidt. That said, I'm not sure that Vegas is truly assembling a roster so much as they're getting a whole bunch of player coins that they can swap with other teams. And I think that Nate Schmidt, and I know you sort of agree with this earlier, I think that Nate Schmidt is a prime example of this, because I have a really tough time imagining Nate Schmidt playing in Vegas. I think that he's going to be he's trade bait immediately. And I would not be surprised if he lands in the East, where there are a number of teams that could use a defensive improvement, including two teams in the division, Pittsburgh and New York, the Rangers. I could see him being slotted in there if deals made sense.
Right. And yeah, I think they could barely, you know, I think it's very likely that they're looking to flip him. Who wouldn't want a defenseman who's what, 24, 25, who you can, you know, plug in on your second pair and sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal for maybe $2 million a year?
Yeah. You know? Under 2.5, you know, for sure.
Right. And you, who wouldn't give up a first round pick for that? So I think, you know, it might take a first round pick and a later round pick to get a player on that good of a value of a deal, because, you know, general managers do take that into consideration when they make deals. It's not just the talent level they're getting back, but the value they're getting back on the contract, of course.
So I don't want to upset
and
you,
so
Pat. But
I just want to say that okay. Team should have been the Washington Capitals, giving up whatever it is.
Yes,
I want to drive that home again.
I think you're right.
Anyways, you don't want to upset me? Go ahead.
Yeah. So Isabel Khrushchyn, I think at this point she was just sort of speculating, but she thinks that with Nate gone, it may change Washington's appetite for re-signing Carl Alzner.
I saw that. I mean,
I don't know if that's – we'll see. But Carl Alzner, even though he had a rough season, somebody in the league is going to pay him $6 million. Or let's say five and change now. But he's going to make a lot of money, even though he's a less physical Orpik type, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced that he's going to make that money after the year that he had. To the point where he was, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, maybe part of it was injury, but in the playoffs, other than penalty kill, he was the team's sixth defenseman. He was playing really minimally at 5-on-5. So I think his value definitely took a hit this year.
I'm betting that there's one or two GMs that don't see that, though.
Okay. Well, you know, good for them. It better not be the Caps, or we'll be recording another emergency podcast where I'm even grumpier.
Yeah. I think we should sort of finish by saying what's good about Nate Schmidt. Because a lot of people have, I think, at times fairly criticized us for being triumphalistic about Nate Schmidt. Mm-hmm. And I guess most people sort of get this about us, but some of our enthusiasm can at times be performative. Like, you know, we're into it because we're into it because we're into it. That's not the case with Nate Schmidt. I think that Nate Schmidt's a terrific defenseman. I don't think he projects to be a Norris Trophy winner like Brent Burns. But I do think that he's got a bright future, and that future is immediately following this moment right now. So I guess I'll start with this. Like, one of the most common critiques or counters to the praise that we would throw on to Schmidt is that he's sheltered. He plays easy third line minutes. And I think that in itself is true. He does play weaker minutes, or he did play weaker minutes in Washington, whereas in previous years, Carl Alzner got most of those. We saw over the course of this year, that assignment really went to Matt Niskanen and Dmitry Orlov. I want to point out, though, that this year, the players that Carl Alzner played against the most did far better against Alzner than they did against Schmidt. So if you count like the shot attempts that different players had against Alzner, and then compare those to the same players against Schmidt, Schmidt landed better in like 19 of 20 examples. That's like a statistical side of it. That's not relying on your normal like Corsi percentages, and I think accounts for some of the player context. Tactically, what did you like about watching Nate Schmidt play? Like what was appealing about his game?
I think his skating ability and his first pass out of the zone. I mean, they often called Mike Green the one-man breakout. Bruce, I think, did a lot. And yeah. I'm not at all comparing Nate Schmidt to a guy who should have won a couple Norris trophies and Mike Green. But I mean, he could get the puck out of the zone with his skating ability if he needed to, and if there was an opportunity to make a pass up the ice quickly for a transition, he was so good at it. So just basically getting the puck out of the zone with control, whether with his legs or with a pass, he was so good at it.
Yeah, I think that's the best. I think that's the best encapsulation of what he did great. There's nobody that I trusted more with the puck, establishing the initial possession for the Caps and then getting that into neutral. Like, if I saw Nate Schmidt crossing the blue line and then finding Marcus Johansson just past center ice, I know that the Caps are in for a good shift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. All right. Well, I don't have too much else to say. Pat, do you have any closing thoughts, or should we just end with talking about how Carlson should have won the Norris Trophy and it's weird for the Vegas Golden Knights to have white gloves?
Wait, did they do the reveal tonight? Did they do the jersey reveal?
So they did like a reveal yesterday, and the model was wearing white gloves, but I heard today that they might wear golden gloves.
Right, did they? I saw that. Did they go with golden?
I'm not sure. It seemed like it was still up in the air, according to Bill Foley, I guess he's the owner. Pat, in Rec League, what do you make of a guy who's got white gloves on?
Let me answer that by saying I wear white gloves. I wear white gloves, and I wear white gloves because when I went to play it again to buy gloves, they were like 70% off new, and for a reason, because nobody really wants to wear white gloves, but I didn't care.
I like the frugality of it, but what, like in beer league, what do you like if you see the dude laced up and he's wearing like Ovi skates? You know, he's got the yellow laces, and he's got the white gloves and
tinted visor.
And the polarized visor. What do you make of that dude when you're about to play against him?
What I do is I try to figure out which person in the stands is the scout that dude is playing for.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got to end on a happy note. Pat, blue skies are going to turn up, put on a happy face. Nate Schmidt's off to greener pastures.
Yep. Can't wait to watch him on NHL.tv this year with whatever team he's playing for.
Hell yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.